we'll get right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, Father, for your grace, for your mercy, Father, for your kindness. Lord, thank you for loving on us. We give you free course tonight, Holy Spirit, and whatever you want to do. Help us understand what you wanting us to understand out of this text, out of this book, from this author. Thank you for Dr. Thompson, our apostle, and his agenda that you've given him, this God-given agenda. May we continue to fulfill the agenda tonight. And we thank you for the results from these classes. We thank you for the other instructors. Thank you for every family that is represented in this room. Thank you for every family that is represented that'll be watching by internet. We give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Last week, we started in chapter 10. And talking about the purpose of covenant. We went over four of them. We have three or four more to go. We ended off with the continuity of the message and revealed truth, and we talked about the importance of having one voice and why it's important that covenant brings us together to have one voice. And so without one voice, it's impossible to get a message over. It's impossible to win those to Christ. Having more than one voice is what has led to denominations. How did denominations develop? Denominations developed for this one reason, and this one reason only. Man wants to be in control. Now, here's one common denominator for every Christian denomination that exists. One common denominator. They all started on the right track. Every last denomination that started with a move of God trying to get them to go in a certain direction. And as soon as man took over control and got and left God's agenda out, that's when it became a denomination. And then men have to dominate other men. If you notice throughout the Bible, in a theocracy, it was never about man being in domination or in control. It was all about God and what he wanted and how he wanted things to be done. And as long as God was the one doing the leading, everything progressed. As soon as man decides that they want to be in control, that's when God stopped. Case in point, when as powerful as David was, when David became king, that was the beginning of the end of the Israelites as we knew them in the Old Testament. Yeah, now watch this now. It takes a while for if you got a car going downhill, you can't tell if that car has an engine or not. You won't find out until it gets to the bottom of the hill and when it's time to climb back up. So anything that has momentum takes a while to break down. So that's why you get Solomon. But if you notice, after Solomon, there was no more king. And the Israelites began to break up. So having one voice is what allows us to accomplish God's agenda. We see in Genesis, the 11th chapter, we have to turn there, we know the story so well, about those building the Tower of Babel. Their one voice was going to accomplish what God didn't want. And the only way that they could be stopped was God had to come down and confuse their communication. So as we talked about earlier in our class, the power of communication, the power of having one voice. You can't have one voice if we're not believing the same thing. We can't believe the same thing if we're not hearing the same thing. If we're not hearing the same thing, we're not going to believe the same thing. If we're not believing the same thing, we're not going to say the same thing. So this is why God established the apostolic, because when Jesus began to establish the apostolic, the Bible talks about him being the foundation, the chief cornerstone, the foundation that other apostles build on. He laid a foundation no other man can lay. So when Jesus began to build or lay that foundation, he began to put out an agenda. To be honest, a lot of us take the agenda that God gave, that Jesus gave the apostles, and think that's our agenda. But it's not really our agenda until we connect to. Are you seeing this? Because he told the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So now everybody takes that as their assignment. Everybody takes that as their mission. But Jesus was talking to the 12. So what the 12 was supposed to do was go out and train others to help them do that. One voice. Believe in the same thing. Continuity. Having a flow of the same message, the same agenda. So what happens is over time, when certain men couldn't be in control, they wanted to take over and do their own thing. So what they say is, I'm going to create my own denomination because we don't believe what they believe. Or we believe it this way, they believe it that way. And so that's why we have all these denominations. And that's why for a while they can be effective, but if there's no covenant, and there's no continuity of the message, everything gets watered down. Number four. For the fourth purpose of covenant is for the separation of whole communities. When we come into covenant together, God is looking to cause us to be separated. Now, let me use this word. I'm going to use this word. For the sanctification of whole communities. Means to be set apart. This is why I have an issue with the way the grace message is taught. Hyper-grace. The way grace is taught in contemporary churches that is almost a license to sin. They're almost given a license of sin. Well, if we're going to be separate, or we're going to be set apart, then there has to be something different about those that are set apart from what you were set apart from. See, if there's no difference in our lives than the lives of those that are in the world, then how can we be a witness? How can we be a light in darkness if the light we shine in is dark? Are you seeing this? So there has to be a separation, a setting apart. It has to be a sanctification that takes place. Covenant, now watch what covenant does. Covenant provides security and protection. What that means? It means that it provides you a place that if you make a mistake, you can run to. Why? Because the people that are there are going to hold you accountable and set you apart. Go to Nehemiah. One of the prophets in the Old Testament, and him and his people were in captivity in Babylon. And the reason why they were in captivity in Babylon is because they had gotten out of covenant with God. So once they got out of covenant with God, God could no longer provide security and protection. So now they're living lives that they never were destined to live. They're in captivity, nothing going right, they're in debt, they're sick, things going haywire. Until this prophet recognized what the issue was. And so Nehemiah, really, his whole book is about reorganizing the children of Israel so that they can recognize the covenant that God had set with them. And so Nehemiah began to, the whole 10th chapter of Nehemiah tells us how we can stay in covenant with God. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. Nehemiah had to draft a new covenant almost. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, verse 36. Behold, we are slaves today, and as to the land which ye gave to our father to eat of his fruit and his bounty. Behold, we are slaves in it. Its abundant produce is for the kings whom you have set over us because of our what? Sins. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please. So we are in great distress. Now because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing and on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. So here it is. Nehemiah is trying to get the people of God, God's chosen people, to be separated again because they had become just like everybody else. And when you become like everybody else, you begin to get the results of everybody else. See, the worst thing in the world for us as Christians to do is try to witness to somebody in our lives that ain't no different than theirs. Our lives are no different than theirs. If you sick and can't get well, if you broke, can't get no money. So here it is. If I'm a sinner and I'm broke and a broke Christian talking to me, I really don't need to convert to your religion because my situation ain't changing. Are you seeing this? See, the fourth purpose of covenant is there has to be a setting apart, a separation of a community. People that when they look at these group of people, they might not know what it is. They might not be able to put their hand on it. They most likely can't explain it. But it's something different about these people. If one of them gets sick, they don't stay sick long. If any of them have any financial problems, all of a sudden money shows up. If they have family issues, they might be having to deal with it, but a solution shows up. As compared to I'm in the world and I get sick, I go to the doctor, they tell me they can't do nothing for me. I get laid off my job. I can't find a job. So I am now attracted to the group of people who can face the same problems I face and overcome them. Are you seeing this? So now the scripture, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That has nothing to do with how well you can converse the gospel. That scripture does not mean that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what that means, with my life, if somebody can, without asking me, what they can just, all they got to do is watch me and see that I'm living a separated, I'm living a sanctified life. Then Jesus said, I'm going to do the rest of the work. See, it's not about, most times when you witness somebody, that's going to be the very final thing you have to do. That's going to be the very final thing you have to do. Because why is that? Because they don't know how to get into the family. They don't know how to get into this covenant. They don't know how to get into this community that has been set apart, this community that has been sanctified. See, the reason why Nehemiah had to rewrite another covenant was because the children of Israel were in captivity, we read it, because of their sin. So when sin takes, when sin overtakes, overtakes anybody, you become as Adam and Eve was when they ate off the fruit. You become expelled from the kingdom of God. But whenever you decide that you're going to live that sanctified, separated life, that's when God can now pour into you himself. And now the light is no longer darkness that we're portraying, but it is light. There is a difference. Somebody in darkness can actually see a difference. Are you seeing this? In this separation of a community, it causes us to have a relationship and fellowship that is not known to the world system. What's supposed to happen in our community is if somebody makes a mistake, the brothers and sisters are supposed to surround them. But what you see happening? I ain't messing with them. I ain't doing nothing to do with them. Why? Because we're scared that our appearing with them will be judged by other people looking from the outside looking in. That is not how covenant works. Are you seeing this? See, this seems like it's overly simplified, but before we even start going into the deep things of God, we have to get these things straight. God can't take us to the deep things if we can't get the shallow stuff. if we can't simply get being separated, coming into covenant, understanding that when I come into covenant, I'm not just trying to benefit myself. When I come into covenant, I'm looking out for the other person. For a separation of community. God needs people to come together so that, see, because the world is a dog-eat-dog world. They're not looking out for each other. So people are looking for a place to go that when they go there, they know they're going to be surrounded by people that they can trust. Is that making sense? Watch this. The covenant relationship that we have with God will fashion us to become a distinctive generation of people set apart or sanctified for him. Now listen to this. It has always been the power of covenant relationship that separate one people from another. It has been covenant that has kept others from coming into the inner circles of a community. Other words, when there's covenant, charlatans can't get in. Why charlatans can't get in? Why fake people can't get in? Why hypocrites can't get in? Because there are rules of engagement. And if they're not willing to follow the rules of engagement, they will be found out very quickly. Covenant relationships within the church will cause the church, listen, will cause the church to become distinctive like a city set up on a hill, highly visible to all. Why? Because there is a different atmosphere. There is a different presence. There are different results when they face problems. So they're going to be set above the crowd so that everybody can see. And then people want to say, I want to be a part of that group. People in your community are looking for relationships of trust and integrity. They're looking for it. When this nature of God is cultivated within the church, the communities of the world will leave their own and enter into the family of God. Wow. So our churches will grow when we learn that we are a group of people that are in covenant. Other words, I may be ashamed of the mistake I made, but I'm not ashamed to go among the people who love me. Come on, come on. See, there's a difference. See, most people deal with two types of shame when they make a mistake. They deal with the shame of the sin, and they deal with the shame of the criticism they're going to face once they get to the church. So what happens is, I already got to deal with the shame of the sin, but I ain't about to subject myself to the shame from the criticism of the church. So I'm just not going. Are you seeing this? See, that's why I can't get with this holier-than-thou attitude. Because people quickly forget that they were once. You understand what I'm saying? They was on this side of the cross before. And it's baffling to me how people who was on this side of the cross, now on this side of the cross, forget that they were on that side. People are going to sin. We can't. Jesus died on the cross and gave us power over sin. So those of us that have power over sin or to help those who haven't discovered their power over sin. This is making sense. See, is the church, see, what happened is we've been trying to build a church off of revivals. And we've been trying to build a church off of excitement. We've been trying to build a church off of a move of God happening. Healing's taking place. Miracles taking place. But when the person get here, they get the healing, they get the deliverance, which is an attraction. What's going to keep them here? Especially got a bunch of people that's backbiting. Especially got a bunch of people that if they make a mistake, oh, I didn't know that's how that's supposed to, I didn't know how that was supposed to go. I'm sorry. You know, got a gentleman. He got born again. I got him born again. He comes straight out the streets. And we were talking. He comes straight out the streets. We were talking. And he'll slip up and cuss. And, man, he'd be like, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I was like, man, look, chill. It takes a while to change your language. But, I appreciate him trying. But I'm not going to sit there and stop talking to the man because he dropped a couple of F-bombs. Now, most of y'all done ran to the hills. You done ran to the hills. Are you? That's setting apart. Man, listen. If Jesus, think about this. Think about what Jesus did. Jesus picked 12 men to help him spread the gospel before they were even born again. Yeah. You never thought about that, did you? Jesus picked 12 men to help and train them to help spread the gospel before they ever could be born again. And he had to deal, look, Jesus had to deal with Peter. But when Jesus come out of the grave, the first person Jesus was looking for, he went looking for Peter. And when he got to Peter, he didn't tell Peter, why you deny me 3 times? Listen to me now, people. He asked Peter, why you denied me three times? He asked Peter all other stuff Peter did. He said, Peter, look, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Oh, Peter, I need you to feed my sheep and feed my lamb. That separation of the community. That the church that is a church that is not just about talk only, but a person can come straight from sinning and walk into a church and know they love. Now we're gonna hold you accountable. Watch this. We in the church have a problem loving people where they are. We have a tendency to love people where we want them to be. But we have to learn to love people where they are and bring them up to where. What I mean by that statement? Well, I may know this guy is a player. I know he can't keep still. I know he fast. He can't holler, every skirt tail he trying to chase. But he born again. So I'm not about to bring my daughter or my wife around him. But I'm not going to be afraid to be around him. But I'm not going to bring his weakness around him. Because I'm loving him where he is. Does that make sense? See, it's not about, see, when you love a person where they are, you're still holding them accountable. See, what we like to do is we like to lay hands on people, you know, shake their head around a couple of times, let them jerk a couple of times, you know, maybe they might convulse a couple of times, and come out, you unclean spirit, and think that's it. They think that's it. And then send them into the same environment where them same demons, the demon you just cast out, all he did was run around the corner and say, I'm gonna wait till he get around the corner. But what if you was to walk around that corner with him or her and meet that demon with them, loving them where they are? Know that because they've been delivered, they're still capable of doing the same thing. So we got to stand with them until they can recover themselves. When we learn how to do that, there will be a mass exodus of people out of the world system, out of darkness into light. The fifth purpose of covenant is for the completion of God's ultimate purpose assigned. Go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. In where? Himself. The pleasure he hath purposed in himself according to his good pleasure. So, at some point, we have to get past our desires and get to his desire. His desires are much higher than our desires. So if I pass my desires reaching for his desires, that means that my desires are going to be accomplished in the process. I don't know if that makes sense. Other words, I'm going past my mundane, you have to look at your desires, mundane desires, the little car you want, the little house you want, the little life you want. If I look past that and say, God, what do you want? Then in me doing what he wants is going to accomplish all the things that I desire. God brings us this generation into covenant with him so that he can pass the baton of legacy from past generations to us. See, without covenant, there cannot be continuity of the message. Without covenant, it's impossible for us to know what God's agenda is. This is why I have a problem with preachers who don't have any spiritual covering. Because when you don't have a spiritual covering, what you're literally saying is, I birthed myself. What you're really saying is, God just started talking on the earth. He just started talking to me. He really wasn't talking to anybody else. So everything everybody else was doing in this earth realm has been hogwash until I showed up. So anybody, any minister that doesn't have a spiritual covering, that's essentially what they're saying. Go to Joshua, the first chapter. Watch this. Before I read this scripture, I just saw a statement the author made. He said, each generation must be in covenant with the previous generation and with him so that they are designed to do what he has chosen them to do. So that they are designed, so that they are shaped, so that they are molded. And watch this. I'm glad I read that before Holy Spirit took me to this scripture. Joshua, the first chapter. Watch this. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I have news for you all. This book that God was talking to Joshua about was not the whole Bible. Why? Because the whole Bible hadn't been written. Go back to verse 7. Watch this. Now, this is important. I'm talking about covenant. We're talking about the fifth purpose of covenant. Go back to the 7th verse. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So, in other words, the book that Joshua is now supposed to be paying attention to came from the mouth of Moses. So, if Joshua had not been in covenant with Moses, then he wouldn't know what book God was referring to. There are some things that you will not receive in your life unless you're connected to the right person. I don't care how brave you may be. I don't care how heroic you may be. I don't care how, how strong you may be or how intelligent you may be. You cannot get the medal, Congressional Medal. You cannot get the Medal of Honor. You cannot get it unless you first join the armed forces. I don't care if you leave your house today and go to Iraq or go to Iran or go to any places where U.S. armed forces is stationed and you do the same thing they do. You can do the same thing they do. You can do the same jobs they do. But you cannot ever be recommended for the Medal of Honor because you have not joined the armed forces. There are some things. Where do you think they got that from? They got that from the supernatural. There are some things that you will not be able to receive in your life unless you are connected properly. God told Joshua this book of the law. What book of the law? The book of the law that Moses gave them. He said, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. If you pay attention to it, everywhere you go, you're going to prosper. Everything you're going to do, you're going to prosper. But it came out of the mouth of Moses. So if he had not been paying attention to Moses and in covenant with Moses, he could not have been designed to take the children of Israel across Jordan. Are you seeing this? See, so there are some things in our lives that we cannot receive unless we get them apostolically and prophetically. Which means it's not always going to come directly out of the mouth of God to us. I don't care how I don't care if you go over there and you rescue somebody that was a hostage. If you're not in the armed forces, you can't get the Medal of Honor. Only those that have said, I am joining the army, have signed that dotted line, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, they have joined signed that dotted line. They are now in line to possibly receive the Medal of Honor. You can do the same job they do and not be in the army or any of the armed forces, and you cannot be recommended for the Medal of Honor because it's only for those that have connected to the armed forces. Are you seeing this? So without covenant and the continuity of the message, the separation of whole communities, are you seeing this? Being in line for the catch the baton for your generation. Let me give you an example. There's some people that are doing mighty works for God, but they will not receive everything that God has designed for them because they're not apostolically aligned. God's agenda is always more important than your individual anointing. I want you to remember that. God's agenda is always more important than your individual anointing or grace. If you don't believe me, ask Moses. First time the children of Israel needed water, Moses struck the rock. Second time, God told him, I want you to speak to the rock. Moses didn't listen. Moses struck the rock. So God said, because you struck the rock, you won't see the promised land. Now, mind you now, this is the very person that has just delivered the book of the law to Joshua.
But because he didn't adhere to the agenda, what was happening? God was trying to take his people somewhere, take his people to a certain place, trying to teach them how to flow in the supernatural. But because he didn't do that, God said, you won't see the promised land. Despite all the good things, this the man that through God through him brought the 10 plagues. This the man that walked to the Red Sea, stretched his forth his rod, and it opened up. This is the same man that spoke to the heavens and bread came down. And quails began to fall out the sky. This is the same man that went to the mountain and got the very law of God. But because of that one moment, see, covenant, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how much grace you carry. If you ain't apostolically aligned, it ain't gonna do nobody no good. God chose us so that we can partner with him to fulfill him and all that he desires. And that we can carry out what he has planned even before the foundations of the earth. Ephesians 1 verses 4 and 5. God, and don't think God won't reject you. Don't think for 1 minute that God won't reject you. He ain't gonna stop loving you, but he will reject you. God chose Israel for his purpose, but they refused to obey his commandments and fulfill what God had ordained for them. He then rejected them and went after the Gentiles. He chose Saul to be the first king of Israel. Saul didn't want to listen. He told Samuel, why are you still mourning for Saul? I rejected Saul. So you can be as anointed as you want to be. You can have as much power flowing as you want to have flowing through your life. If you're not connected in covenant with the apostolic, you are fruitless. Are you seeing this? See, I want you to understand this. The purpose of covenant, we haven't finished. We got like three more. We couldn't even get through all the rest of them. We got about three more. Understand that we have got to get this covenant down. We have got to understand the purpose of covenant. We have got to understand that God's kingdom is bigger than us just getting what we want. God's kingdom is more than us just our ministry. It's more than us being seen as one of the generals. It's more than that. Covenant is about actually God letting us be a part of his great commission. So all God is really asking us to do is to play our part. Play our part. Let God mold us. Let God shape us. Let God eradicate from us what needs to be eradicated. Let God add to us what needs to be added to us. Let God check our attitude. Let God check our mentality. Let God check your personality. Letting God do it. And most times, God ain't going to check your personality in your prayer closet. Sometimes he will, but most times he not. Most times your attitude and your mentality is going to be checked by somebody else. Is that making sense? We'll continue that next week. Y'all have a good night.